The Reserve Pool Special Episode 1, Post-Nationals Car Talk.
All right, so this is Randy and I in the car driving back from Nationals, and we're just gonna talk a little while. And also probably pause this a few times as I figure out where the heck I'm going. But mostly talk.
Yeah, Evan had to leave earlier.
Yeah, Evan had to get back to New York. Yeah. So.
I was just letting the people know we didn't leave him there.
We thought about it. We ultimately chose against it. I mean, we really did consider it. Oh, look, another red light. We've gotten more red lights on whatever road this is than I've ever gotten on any road before. So I had top eight. Randy, obviously, we both qualified for today. And, I lost in top eight, lost to the eventual winner. Last game was a coin flip in so many ways. I won, he won, and then the last game, like, he beat me on extra turns on turn three. And it was just a question of who's going to get what they need first. And I was close to having it at one point. He had the globals that would have knocked out Ant-Man and made it null and void. He was close, was able to pull stuff away. It was just, it was tight, and he ended up getting it, and that was that with the Hulk. But, oh man, so much fun. I can't complain about any of that. Frankly, I was bushed.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
2 full days of sitting around playing Dice Masters, and I mean, not just the physical sitting around doing something all day, but man, the emotional highs and lows. Good gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay, so, I mean, I don't want this to sound like I'm gloating or anything, but when we played against each other in the
second round.
In the round of Swiss, and I made the roll for High Hopes and got it, and you had a mask, and that was it.
Yeah.
Like, when you saw, like, what... Did your heart just, like, sing, like, sitting across from that is horrible, right?
After your re-roll, because you got patched come-up character side on your roll, and your re-roll, you needed that level 3 Ant-Man.
Right.
And as soon as that came up, like, it wasn't a matter of, wait, check all the other dice, make sure it comes up. It's just that level, as soon as I saw that level 3 Ant-Man, it's like, well, over.
Done. Yeah.
Stick a fork in me.
I looked at it, I'm like, wait. Do I have this? I think Randy, you have to tell me if I have this or not.
Yeah.
Because you look at it and it's a way that team can win, but it's not the way that it tries to win. It's just an opportunity.
Yes.
Like, along the way of getting the Hulk and doing whatever else that team wants to do, that's just something it can do. So when it does happen and you get that level 2, 3... Nick Fury and that level 3 Ant-Man, it's like, what?
Yeah, and I mean, it didn't feel that bad because, I mean, I lost to, friend I went there with and that helped me come up with the High Hopes team.
I appreciate you giving me credit. I mean, that was a lot, you.
Oh. Well, especially one of us had to win, one of us had to lose.
Yeah.
So, it was going to happen regardless. And.
Right.
I mean, it would have been nice to see you pull off that High Hopes combo against someone else, maybe later in the tournament.
I could have used it in that last game. My goodness.
Yeah.
I got the pick to go first, and it stumbled at one key roll, and I just couldn't quite get out what I needed to get out. Mm. That would have been a nice game for High Hopes. But what do you do? Nice.
It was proof right in front of us that there is a problem with the player going first.
Yep.
Because Dave attacked with the High Hopes combo on his third turn, which was before my third turn. So I didn't have a chance to even field any of my purchased characters up to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I at that point, I was 1-1. I knew I was still very much alive in the running to get to top 8. And I was happy for Dave because we got to see something kind of cool. He was 2-0. I mean, I didn't have any sort of, you know, bad feelings or just, oh, crap.
Well, I appreciate that. I felt awful. Like, I looked at him when we were, like, confirmed, yes, it's here. I looked at him like, I'm so sorry. Like, yeah. Yeah. So, well, let's move into something else then. Today was really very much, like, other than that match, today was very, really, like, a tale of two teams because we pretty much the same team. I went 4-1 and hit top 8, and you went 1-4. Like, and with in the tournament with the High Hopes Green Goliath thing, I was what, like 3-1. So I was 7-2 before top 8 with High Hopes. Like, what's the deal there?
I don't know. I mean, I went 3-1 in the qualifiers yesterday, didn't change my team.
Yeah.
And went 1-4 today. And I mean, a lot of my opponents were just saying, wow, you were getting bad rolls. And so, I mean, I guess that's
indicative right there. Yeah.
That sucks to hear, but it is reassuring that it's not just me.
It's not your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to get gas here, so we're going to be right back. All right, so we got gas, and we also know where we're going now. So, yeah, Randy, we were talking about your poor, unfortunate rolls.
Yes. The first game I played today, which was on the stream, played against a guy named Sean. It was a really close game. My team worked. It did good. I won. It was a good feeling on the stream. Loved it. That's about where my day should have ended.
That's where the wheels fell off, yes.
That's when the wheels came off. I mean, obviously, round two, I lost to you, and in games 3 and 4, I didn't field a single Incredible Hulk.
My goodness.
The whole time. I mean, I bought him early, and just every time I rolled him, he came up energy, and I did what I could to stave off death, and you can only stop things for so long when all the energy you're sinking into your big character is not coming up.
Yeah, that's tough.
And then my last game of the day, I finally got Hulk, and it just so happened that my opponent bought the Smash basic action to knock out a level 1 character. And of course, my Hulk was on level 1, so he was in the field for one turn, and then he was knocked out, and then I lost.
You know what? That's like one of the first basic actions other than Polymorph that I actually heard of somebody buying today and constructed. He uses Smash there for removal. That's great. Now, did he use any discounts to get that Smash, or that's a different kind of Hulk Smash?
Man, I don't remember. I think he used the Blue Eyes Global, and he sacrificed a sidekick in the process, and then had just paid one energy to buy Smash.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, I ended up losing that game. Like I said, finished the day 1-4. But I'm not too hard on myself because I know it's the roles. My team did well yesterday playing against the same other kinds of teams. It just was an unlucky day.
Yeah, that's true. Again, you're going to deal with that with dice. That's why, not to beat a dead horse, but that's why we did the results-oriented thinking show. Because if you really just focus on why did this die come up this way, then you're going to hate yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. And you know, my change in teams from qualifier 1 to qualifier 2 wasn't. Now, did I get poor rolls? Yes. And when I got better rolls, did it succeed? Yes. But I mean, those couple of wins were also against other people who had a loss or two, and not that they weren't good players or anything else, but that was indicative of where, you know, their performance level was on with their teams, and so. It was more looking at, like, well, what is the function of all of these things? You know, it was funny. When I played you on the stream, Randy, yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
It was just kind of a side game. And I guess Jimmy in his commentating said, oh, Storm Weather Witch? Why is that there? And then he saw it used later on to pull a ring off of something. He said, oh, that's why. I had expected Lord of D Ring to be much more prevalent.
Yes.
You know, I was talking with some other players there, and their thought was people know it exists, and people know what it does and why it does it, but they're not yet sure how to fit it into something that matters, that's fast enough, that's viable. And I have to agree. That's the one problem. That can stop a lot of stuff, But in the meantime, you leave yourself very, very open because there aren't a lot of ways to purchase it quickly enough.
Yeah. So. Yeah, speaking of the ring, Ring of Magnetism.
Oh, yes.
I was able to purchase that and get it on a character in one of my games against an opposing Hulk. And it bought me time for a turn or two because they couldn't ping their Hulk for damage. But like I said, my own Hulk just kept coming up energy, and eventually it was all for naught.
Yeah. My favorite little maneuver of the day was really a subtle thing. It came in my first game against Dave in Top 8. And he had a Hulk on level, I think, 1. I had a Hulk on level 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the energy. I pinged his Hulk down twice before I fielded anything.
Yes.
Then I fielded my Hulk, pinged it one more time, which KO'd his Hulk, took mine down by a couple, but still alive. And then I fielded the Fury and the Ant-Man and swung for lethal. But, like, just, gosh, I'm looking at it, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, Hulk math hurts my head.
Oh,
and he's
my
like,
goodness.
Me too. And, it takes a while to sit there and think about it. And even once I had it reasoned out, I had to make sure, you know, we had to run through it a couple of times. I ran through that whole turn a couple of times and we talked it out and worked it out and everything. But Hulk math is hard. But that was a fun play, just getting that right. Because there's so many ways, there's so many variables to track with that, it's easy to screw it up.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's a game I played yesterday against someone who was using a team very similar to mine, and the same thing happened. We both had our Hulk Green Goliaths out, and yeah, it was, I need to ping his Hulk this many times before I field my own Hulk, and then ping my Hulk so I can outlast his Hulk. And it's...
It's hard to really, like, put it together. So you're, like, you're sitting there, you're allocating energy here and there and everywhere. Like, okay, so I got to spend this, so this goes here. Then this is going to be used for this purpose, and it goes here. And it's hard because then you also maybe have to spin sidekicks to their bolt phase. So you have to, like, you have to think of things as bolts that aren't bolts, but they will be bolts. And it gets to be a lot, especially, you know, late in the day, you know, we sat down and, I looked at Dave and said, I gotta be honest, I'm beat. And he said, yep, this has been a lot and everything. And yeah, so. The roles are tough.
Yeah, it'll make or break you.
I found that I was able to come back from some poor roles a couple of different times. You know, the thing that's interesting is that if everything goes as expected, you can get things that quickly. You know, you can't. It's there. But there are a lot of times when, well, things don't quite go as expected. And that's often. And it's a question of contingency from there. You know, that was the problem with my first team. When things didn't go as expected, there was sometimes... I didn't have very many options on the first turn. I had one edge case that I got to use a couple times where I could... Blue Eyes for Ant-Man. But having that 2-drop be a mass character was tough, even though the only reason why there wasn't a different 2-drop was because I couldn't fit it with what I thought my team could do. But
yeah, I heard people say that having that 2-drop mass character is important, but I'll be honest.
It can't be the only one.
What's that?
It can't be the only one.
No, because... then you're needing multiple masks on your first roll if you're wanting to buy it and use PXG, and, I mean, that could be asking a lot.
Yeah, well, you need, to be okay, you need 2 masks and a shield, and that's tough. That's tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can at least PXG and Resurrection, because, right, just in terms of what dice you actually end up with being able to roll, PXG and Resurrection works out exactly the same for your subsequent turn as PXG twice, except that there's the chance with this team that you want, well, there's a chance with any team that you'll end up drawing your 2 cost, which you don't necessarily want to do, especially if you want to go High Hopes.
Yes.
And there was a game when High Hopes came up too late to really matter, and it was because I drew the Ant-Man early and he had to go back for the bag. You know, at that point, the ship had sailed. But, again, it's dice. What are you gonna do? So a consequence of top eighting was that I did not really get to draft. But you were in a couple, right?
I did one yesterday and one today. Mm-hmm. Would have liked to get more in today, but I didn't sit out any of my rounds for Nationals. Once I realized I was eliminated, I played out anyways against my opponents.
Yeah, we paid for it, might as well.
Yeah, if I would have skipped out in that last round, once I got my third loss, I might have been able to get another draft in, but I really wanted to finish out and not just forfeit for someone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I did two drafts. I lost one of my drafts that I totally just drafted for rarity. I saw that I got the super rare Black Canary and figured, well, I got to draft that. And, you know, every other rare that came my way, I figured, well, okay, well, I'll take the rare and, you know, build my best possible team after I'm done drafting. Didn't do well that draft, obviously. After I saw what had worked and, you know, talked with Evan, because Evan actually did a couple of drafts, saw what kind of teams he had made, what worked in some of his drafts. The second draft I did, I totally ignored rarity and just picked for a team.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And I won. I won the rainbow draft.
That's awesome. Yes, you got that promo art Wonder Woman, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the one draft I was in, I was kind of starstruck by rarity, and that was at the end of two qualifiers, like playing in two qualifiers and everything. I was, or not the rarity, I was starstruck by like, new set, oh my gosh, look at everything. And I drafted all right, and I think my team was okay if I had taken Magic Missile basic action, but I wasn't thinking. I had a villain team with Black Manta, and it was just shy of viable. This will be on the podcast too, so I don't want to dig into too much with this one. It was just shy of viable. Magic Missile would have helped, but it was just too hard to make it work without any way of reliably KOing my own villains. So
yeah.
What are you gonna do?
I'll write up an article about the rainbow drafts and what my team looked like and other things I saw. I will say this though, the uncommon Black Manta, the uncommon Katana, and the takedown basic action.
Worked
amazing. I mean, it won me the rainbow draft.
You gotta remind me takedown.
Takedown, and I'll be honest, I forget what it does, but the global on it is pay a mask and give a character the villain affiliation.
So use that. Okay, so I had, I think it's on the Lantern Power Ring, I want to say it is.
Yes.
That gives character, and I had that in the draft, so that was my...
However, that is only opposing characters.
Is it?
It is. Maybe different rarities have different ones.
I bet you're right. I bet I read that wrong. I don't know. It was late. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I just saw a sign that said Denver, 1,700 miles. Fort Cove, 2,200 miles. I mean, I know we're on I-70, and that's a major cross-country route, but that's just not something... you want to go to Denver, Randy?
I'll pass.
Fort Cove?
I think I've got some people just outside of Akron, Ohio that are waiting for me, so we'll...
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
To get back on
please.
Track real quick. The Black Manta, the uncommon, that's the one that has the retaliation. The new keyword introduced in DC. When a character is knocked out of that affiliation, you deal one damage to your opponent for each of those, for each active character of that affiliation. So, to sum that up, if I have Black Manta that has retaliation in the field, and I have three different villains, let's say Harley Quinn, Joker, and Darkseid. Darkseid gets knocked out. I have three other unique villains in the field that would deal three damage to my opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the basic action that let me turn characters into villains, and the uncommon Katana gets plus one attack for each villain die in the field.
Yeah.
So she gets stronger as there are more villains, and the more villains there are, I can get them knocked out to deal more direct damage to my opponent, and it won me the rainbow draft.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, on the one hand, that's where we were talking about, hey, Magneto, get those Magneto dice ready.
Yes.
But at the same time, that is, or I guess at least the Magneto Global, rather.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is a danger because you have to save energy for it, and it's energy you can't use for something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could save something for an attack step that never occurs or use it before the attack step does end up happening and different things like that, and that can be problematic. But yeah, the villains were something that I enjoyed, and if I wish I had structured it just a little bit differently, and I didn't, and that was that. I had taken Resurrection because Ramp and the lack thereof otherwise.
Yeah.
And what was the other one?
What was your other basic action?
I'm trying to remember.
Did you just?
Oh, I grabbed gear. Oh, I grabbed gearing up as well.
Up.
Yeah. I don't know. So I guess the question is this: like, what did you do to make sure that villains were getting knocked out? Were you just attacking for enough that they had to be blocked and possibly KO'd? Or
yes. I mean, I think I bought one Harley Quinn, two Black Mantas, two Katanas.
Uh-huh.
I only bought five characters the whole game because I, like you said, I was using so much energy to turn my characters into villains. And I was turning my sidekicks into villains, so if, you know, I would attack with a couple, maybe, you know, two or three characters, they were forced to block something, and whatever they blocked, I made sure would be a villain. That Katana works really well because on her level one side, she's a 3-1.
Easy to knock out. Even a sidekick's gonna do it.
Yeah, and her attack gets amplified by all the villains, so all of a sudden she has 7 attack. Well, of course they're gonna block her. Well, now you're gonna be doing damage because I can use a global to make her a villain.
Right, and as I recall, she's a pretty cheap field too, right? Isn't she like, is she 1-1-1 all across?
I know she's 3-1-1 to purchase. I believe she's 0-1-1.
Okay, we'll have to look at that.
Yeah.
Looking through the DC set, I'm excited. I mean, I only bought some packs. I didn't buy gravity feeds. I'm going to do that for my local store when they do come. That might mean waiting just a little while, but that's okay. I'm not coming to an event like this in the next couple of weeks that's going to require it. But regardless of any of that, I did get some packs just because I'm here. I got to get some packs. I bought some yesterday, drafted some yesterday, and then bought a few more today. And I like what I'm seeing overall from the set. Of course, I have nowhere near everything from every card, but I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, going through and getting a good review in for this set, because Retaliation is pretty awesome, especially the Black Manta variety. The tribal stuff that Justice League has going on is really, really cool. And then, of course, you know, Bolts are the other thing. And we're saying this here. I'm saying it in an article. We're talking about it in the podcast. Bolts are going to be big, too. These will especially be the case in draft, but I'll be really curious to see how this stuff proliferates into Constructed. Like, man, I want to put a Constructed team together that's like Firestorm, Pyro, and,
Cyclops, Field
Cyclops,
Leader.
Oh, my gosh, Cyclops, Field
yeah.
Leader. And then, of course, Human Torch.
Johnny Storm.
Yeah. Well, even the two-cost one, because you have direct damage coming from other things. You just need that cheap bolt if you want that team to work.
That's right.
No, Ghost Rider need not apply. I'm sorry. maybe the four-cost one, the rare that lets you pull dice from places, but, yeah. Basic action-wise today, I saw a lot of Polymorph used. I have new respect for Polymorph. That was bought and used to good effect. That let people get Hulks out just a little bit faster. I mean, on the other hand, of course, you're using an early buy for that Polymorph. But that's okay.
I only saw it used once, and it was actually used in defense.
Hmm.
Someone took my Hulk and switched it with my Nick Fury that was in my used pile.
Okay.
I was still able to use PXG enough times. I rolled my Hulk the next turn and went well. That was my first game, my only win of the day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I did see it.
Mm-hmm. Going into today, I mean, it was hard to really, like, think it out. There were a couple of changes I thought of making, but ultimately didn't. You don't want to do that, because then you confuse the issue on how to pilot your team well.
Mm-hmm.
But, obviously, I'm really happy with how the deck performed. I'm happy with everybody that had played. Once again, super awesome people today. For the most part, there was one person who I will not really comment on here. You can see some Facebook comments. We'll probably discuss that. But who was either a really sloppy player or was up to some shadiness. I'm not sure which. I want to give the benefit of the doubt, but there was a warning given from the judges at least once. And I'm not going to dwell on this, but everybody else was fantastic. Truly.
Yeah, I mean, I could go down the list, but I don't know if I could remember everyone's names. But, I mean, pretty much, if you were at Nationals, you were awesome.
Yeah, really. That's it. We had great opponents again today. I played a friend of the guy who I beat on the Twitch video yesterday. I played Rich in the evening, and he had a somewhat similar team to mine. And I played a friend of his today in the rounds of Swiss. And man, Rich was a great opponent, and this guy Charlie was a great opponent for all the same reasons. Like, talking, joking a lot. We're playing the game. We're focusing on the game. We're pausing, making our choices, but talking, laughing, joking. You know, just enjoying the fact that we're sitting here playing games with other people who love the game as much as we do. And that's really what these things are all about. It's not like going to a high level, you know, a high level Magic tournament where people are super hardcore staring daggers at you. You know, there's an event going on, I think right now, or just very recently, one of the Pro Tour events, I think it is, where there's apparently a lot of sleight of hand nonsense going on. Like, even this guy who apparently tried to pull something at the featured table that was being broadcast. And he did it so deftly that not even the commentators caught it as he was doing it. Marshall Sutcliffe, who is a guy in the Magic community who I have a lot of respect for, he does the Limited Resources podcast, does a lot of the coverage. Didn't even catch it, you know? But this community is not even like that at all. It's just not. Everybody, you know, helping each other, you know, hey, we're all really curious about how this is going to be ruled. Like, we could come up with something on the spot and be cool with it, but let's call a judge and see, because we want to know how this game is played so we can all be better at it. And, like, everybody just has this great curiosity and desire to learn and be better. And, man, that's what I'm all about, playing and learning and being a better player and having fun. Jeez, you can do it all at once.
Yeah, even the rulings that, you know, would have a heavy impact in the game. I mean, I know there were a lot more rulings, rules questions for DC, since those
of
are
course,
new and
yeah,
we're unfamiliar with those. But just about every question I saw asked to the judge, I mean, whether it would help the player or hurt the player, like, the player didn't care. They wanted to know. They had no vested interest in the outcome of the ruling. Just we want to know. Let us know so we're doing this right. We're just having a good time.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you better rule this my way because I need to win this game. It was...
Yeah, well, even in Constructed, even in a tournament where there are things to check out, for the most part, you know, there were some... I mean, nothing was totally unexpected. A lot of times the judge was just called over to confirm because, you know, there are some stakes here.
Yeah.
A judge was called over to confirm something, but there were a couple of cases where it's like, huh, we're not sure. So, you know, you avail yourself to the judge, and then you do that. You probably could come up with a solution that everybody is fine with, but we'd rather check it out. And, you know, again, the people I saw called for rulings, nobody was upset that it was ruled the quote-unquote wrong way. Nobody cared. Everybody wanted to know how to play the game better.
Yeah.
I love that internal stuff, man. I'm all about that.
And speaking of the judges, I mean, they were great guys too.
Yeah, talked to both of them a fair amount. I don't remember their names very well.
I remember Arthur.
Arthur was a judge. Okay, was he the one with the ball cap or the one with the hair and the facial hair?
Facial hair.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Arthur. Yeah, I probably talked to him a little bit more than the guy in the ball cap, but they both were really nice guys.
Yeah.
Answer questions well. You know, you didn't see any kind of waffling or indecision. You know, once in a while they call the other over to confirm. But
and they give you reasons for it too. Like, well, you know, obviously WizKids could always change their mind on this card, but there's a similar card that's worded, you know, very, very closely, and this is the ruling on that card, so that is why we're going to rule this card this way.
Yeah.
It was all very well explained. They did a good job today.
Yeah. Like, well, you know, for example, one that I one that we saw in your DC game, the Green Arrow card that deals damage equal to twice his level
when he's fielded
to a target character. Well, it doesn't say he may. It
says so, he deals damage.
Yeah, so he has to do it. Similar to, I guess, Johnny Storm, where he has to deal that damage to a character and has to deal that damage to a player. So we wanted to, you know, get confirmation. So if he's the only one you can field, does he have to deal the damage to himself? The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not surprising and probably how you would think about it, but still kind of nice to get some early confirmation, so now we have better context for a set that, you know, we're all going to be playing with very soon.
Yes.
If not some already, because we have cards. All right, so now that all that's out of the way, let's get to the subject that everybody really wants to know, is which is, what do I think of the booster gold cards that are not the common? Well, I like them far better than the common. They're still not great, like, just on an island, but I think they're usable. So the uncommon, at first, they really do kind of take advantage of the time travel-y aspect of the character, which is so much better than, I don't know what they were going for with the first one.
Yeah.
The one is when he's fielded, he can be rolled. If he's already in the field, you can choose to roll him with the rest of your dice. Now, you might think, well, I paid to field him or whatever else, but he can be kind of either an energy bank or something that, you know, triggers when other characters are fielded or whatever else. You know, you can roll him and either get an extra pair of masks or something like that. Who doesn't want more masks? Or, you know, you just get to field him again,
mm-hmm.
and now maybe trigger a Johnny Storm or something like that. So, you know, that's fine. I don't hate that. And then the rare, oh boy, I don't quite remember what he does. It's something about going to the prep area.
I do not remember because I did not draft it.
Okay. So in the draft, I drafted it because it was Booster Gold. It came out like, not that, hey, this is a rare card. It was, hey, it's the Booster Gold rare. I wanted to make sure I have that because I like Booster Gold.
Yeah.
And it has something to do with, like, he can put himself in the prep area. I don't remember exactly what he does or how he gets there. It might not be great, but that said, we haven't really seen ways to take advantage of a lot of this stuff yet, because we don't have the full picture of what DC looks like at this point.
Yeah, none of us bought full gravity feeds that were on sale at Nationals.
Yeah, if they were a discount, I would definitely have done it. As much as I want to be ahead of the curve and everything else, I want to support, I have some store credit with Cool Stuff, and I also want to make sure I'm supporting my local store. Cool Stuff and my local store both always, always, always have stuff below MSRP. I mean, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd rather my dollar go somewhere I have, you know, more of a vested interest in playing, and I want my store to know, yes, have DC, because DC is good, and we will play here. And
you don't need to spend that extra money just to have it now, when you can, you know, easily have it in a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's coming, but, like, you know, I win this starter set because I hit top 8, and I look at it and I'm like, well, what the heck did I buy one yesterday for? I mean, I could have also gotten the starter set a little bit below MSRP, but I did want to dig into that. We all wanted to review it and look at it and stuff.
Yeah.
But
I did hear that. I mean, I don't know if this is official, but I did hear multiple people say, and some of the judges that were even there confirmed, DC's getting released the 29th of this month.
I heard something. Yeah, I pretty much heard that, too.
So, 2.5 more weeks from this recording.
Okay, so there you go. So that does give some more space from D&D, which is good. But I think that, I mentioned this on Twitch, and it's going to be in an article as well. I heard a judge say that, you know, I'm walking around, you know, people are good, I'm seeing interesting things, good questions, blah, blah, blah. I'm walking around, I see a lot of the same stuff. I see Hulk, I see Black Widow, I see Gabi, I see Magic Missile, I see, what else was he, what, I don't even remember what all else he mentioned. I see Psylocke, I think was one that he mentioned. And he just kind of left it at that, but some people are like, wow, a lot of sets coming out in kind of a short time, but is there anything this game could use more than a shot in the arm with, like, a much bigger pool to choose from? A much bigger pool of things that, that can be viable and used in new and different ways? Yeah.
I mean, having a lot of things come out in a short amount of time makes it very difficult to keep up with absolutely everything.
It does, but I think it needs it. Like, I mean, I made this comparison on Twitch, on the Talking Head after one of my matches. If I'm looking at a Magic set, in the span of, like an old block, they're doing this two-set thing now, I don't know, but, like, let's even just look at the Tarkir block, right? Khans, Fates, Rewards, and Dragons. There's, like, 200-plus cards in the first one, probably 150 new ones in the second, another 250 in the third. That's a lot of cards, and that's really only been in the last, I don't remember what the release cycle was, like, six to 8 months? Something like that?
Yeah.
That's a whole bunch of cards that you get to add to. Now, they play just within set. I mean, Standard is a very specific set of cards. There are other ways to play, too, but you need a lot of cards to have a good ecosystem for your game. And we're getting there. With four sets in, though, we're not quite there yet. You know? Eventually, we need to build to a critical mass or stuff will never rotate out.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure we'll get there eventually. Stuff will at some point rotate out. Don't know when. But we need to get to that point where there are more cards. We just do. We need more options. We need more tricks. We need some more variety, and it's not going to come from existing things. Existing things are only going to be better because of new sets. Green Goliath was already pretty good. Look at him now. Nova was already pretty good, but a lot of people are talking about him now. Even though, again, you know, talking to people today, Ivan wasn't the only one who had trouble getting successful games in with Nova.
I did see one game next to me where a player had success with him, though.
Uh-huh.
And so it's, I mean, we knew it's not impossible, but...
I talked to people who, first qualifier also brought Nova yesterday and just...
Yeah. I saw someone using him today, and, I mean, they did. They attacked with him and pinged him 5 times, dealt 10 damage, and, I mean, so it was happening today, but, I mean, yeah, I agree. It wasn't quite to the level of the Green Goliath.
No, but that's the only way that old cards get better is new cards come out.
Yes.
I mean, that's the whole point of your statement about the podcast, right? You know, here's something that we were using... And maybe we kind of panned it before, but now, oh man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stuff we thought was too expensive. Well, hey, now we have Limited Wish.
Yeah.
I think Limited Wish, and there's an article I'm going to be talking about this, and this will drop maybe even tonight as I record this, depending on what I feel like doing when I get home. There's a case to be made that Maybe Limited Wish is now the reason to have the Scarlet Witch that gives you the extra reroll.
Cool.
I mean, you have to pay for her and get her out, but if you like Limited Wish and Swarm, and you can pay for her, you can get her out, maybe there's the case for that spare reroll, because you want to be able to wish for something pricey.
Yeah.
Now you have a better shot. Like, I'm not a math guy. Somebody can figure out what the whole... I think there's a theme park. What the heck are we...
Roller coasters.
What? Where like, not we? Big ones. What is this?
Yeah. Right near Frederick. Adventure Park something. Adventure Park USA.
Huh.
Two little coasters. That one looks kind of fun.
let's stay in our lane, Dave.
Sorry, I'm a roller coaster fanatic. Truly. I mean, there's nothing there that's like crazy, but maybe somebody from this area can say, yeah, Adventure Park, it's like the premier kiddie park in the area. Or, yeah, those coasters are small, but amazing. What were we talking about?
Touching on older cards, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
like your bread and butter.
Weather Witch, you mentioned earlier. And Jimmy was like, "Why? What is Weather Witch doing here?" Oh, that's what Weather Witch is doing here.
Yeah, he said it later on, so I didn't get that vindication, but I guess he understood seeing a play happen a little bit later on. It's true. Now, ultimately, I didn't end up needing her for the global. It was a misread of where things were. But... That's That's why the games are played, as they say. So, yeah. But new sets are good. I'm thrilled to see more from this. I'm thrilled to see more with Age of Ultron. Got some new cards, some new promo cards in my pocket, which is pretty sweet. That Eldar Beast looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it does. I know we've got a couple of those to give away as prizes for some contests.
Oh yeah,
because I just walked away with four of them, and I'm not gonna keep all four of them. So
that'll work.
Not sure where those will fit into the contest yet, but
I may
keep your ears on the podcast.
I may have some spares. I'm not sure. I got to look at what I got. Some of them may be reserved for folks who asked if I was going to have extras. That's not to say that. That's not to say that I can be bought. But you know, it's what it is. But yeah, well, just fun. Fun couple of days. I did far. I came in thinking, well, if I qualify, that'll be awesome.
And you ended up doing top 8.
Yeah, like that's great. You know, going in, we talked about this several times between the two of us. At this point, with the round of 32, everybody has a good team.
Everybody qualified for the second day for a reason.
Everybody's got a good team. Everybody knows how to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And until you get to top 8, it's best of 1. So, like,
yeah.
Let's stuff's going to happen in some of these games, and there's just not going to be a lot you can do about it because the dice were not ever in your favor at that point in time. So why be? But the performance is the performance. Why be upset? You qualified. You showed your medal. You showed you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Not that people would... There are plenty of people who didn't qualify who also know what they're doing. You know, don't get me wrong there.
Yeah.
But you showed that you have quite a lot of skill with this game. You know. Now, you got to deal with some variance and see what happens.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, just where the game goes from here. I mean, 6 months from now, I'm assuming DC War of Light comes out this fall.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what is the meta going to look like then? I mean, are we still going to be, you know, having our whole Green Goliath, or is something going to come out that, you know, totally rocks the boat?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to see too much power creep. I do want to see answers.
Yes.
I don't want to see a lot of power creep. And that's where it will start to get healthy to rotate a few things out of, like, the I don't know what everyone like the standard constructed environment. That's where it's healthy because then you don't have to worry so much about power creep. You have some maybe a weird interaction for a little while, but then an older set falls off. I do want to see more things. I want to see some things that can get in the way of ramp for full constructed. Like some stuff is almost there. Walsh and I were talking about this. Some stuff is almost there, but it's just a little too expensive, or you can't get it till a little too late in the game.
Yeah.
Something that does that would be pretty cool. There's some more answers, other ways to deal with Hulk.
He was everywhere.
He was. There were a lot of teams with Hulk. Not every team tried to purchase him. A lot of them did, though. I saw more Gobby than I actually thought I would. Most of the damage I took from Gobby was incidental. I don't think he closed the door on me at any point. Definitely saw Black Widow around.
Yeah.
She was there. She wasn't... I dealt with her in a few games against her I won, a couple games against her I lost. I mean, it's just... It's a good one. There's a psychological thing to Black Widow, though, right?
Yeah, we touched on that a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I think... Well, this morning, I don't think we were recording it, though.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
On the team that both of us ran, two of our... You know, the characters we rely on for damage are Ant-Man and Hulk. Looking across the board, seeing Ant-Man and Hulk is a much different feeling than if you look across the board and see Serena and Hulk.
Yeah, she just has a reputation. And there's, like, you see Hulk, oh, I got to deal with this Hulk. You see Serena, oh, man, Serena's there. And that can kind of get in your head a little bit. I did. That was the one change I thought about making was Sarina. Now that said, if I did, I could not have done the High Hopes.
Yeah.
So I guess, and that's it. It gave me that shining moment of glory.
And obviously, you would have lost to me if you did not pull off High Hopes. So.
Yeah. Wait, I would have.
Moving on.
Excuse me. Yeah, we weren't set up. We were still far too early in the game for that to be a foregone conclusion, my friend.
All right.
Yeah. You know, I don't even know what to say from there. I'm trying to think back to what happened in the game that we played on the stream where we just kind of had some questionable roles.
Well, I know. I mean, early on,
we
got some energy. I mean, I think I wasn't able to even purchase Ant-Man on turn one.
Yeah, and this is, we're talking about yesterday, when they had us, they had some extra time and they pulled us in. Hey, guys, reserve full play, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they said, the people are asking for you, and okay, sure.
I don't know what people.
Yeah.
Clearly you're insane, but thank you.
But yeah, I don't think I was able to purchase Ant-Man on turn one, so I had to get creative with ways I could try to ramp.
Yeah. There was a game I played. I had a horrible turn one roll, and I don't think I could even purchase Ant-Man. I got like two sidekicks and something else. I think I had to field the sidekicks, and I don't even remember what all I did, but it was a horrible one. But I was able to get it to come back around. Like this was the best way I think that I was able to overcome a bad start. I was able to come back around and get to a point where, okay, now I'm set to where I would have been after a solid turn one. And I was able to kind of reset and play the game from there.
Yeah.
And luckily, what he had going wasn't quite fast enough to make up for my stumble, which was good. But yeah, that game that we played on the stream, we just did not get dice. It mattered. Nothing. Nope.
But I mean,
until very late. It was a competitive game.
Yes. Oh, very much so. Because we both had nothing to work with.
Yeah.
It was a level playing field.
Yeah. I think... from hearing commentary, I didn't see it. It sounds like I might have missed an earlier, like an opportunity where I could have won earlier or done something that mattered earlier, I was told. It would have been like maybe slightly earlier. I don't think I made many great decisions in that game, though, because I'm like looking at the field like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this?
Well, and I know it wasn't.
I've never seen that energy type before. when did we get this?
It wasn't a terribly long game either, so.
We got to be pretty efficient by that point, right? I mean, everybody was... There was so much Dice Masters going on over the course of this weekend that everybody was kind of, like, in a groove with playing, like, just the gesture and passing priority and whatever else, like...
Well, I know, especially in the last round of the last draft I did, I mean, I was just rocking my turns out. I mean, it was kind of a time crunch anyways, and as soon as it would be my turn, you know, roll. This is what I want. This is what I don't want. Reroll. This is what I'm doing. Field, attack. Pass priority.
Yeah.
And then attack. And it was, we got very quick at making decisions as the weekend went.
Yeah, well, except for I think it was the first game I played. And I felt bad for the guy I was sitting across. I was staring at the board. I was so close to having it I was so close to having lethal damage. And I'm staring at it, trying to decide, do I have it or not? And I'm, like, pushing globals around energy around my reserve pool and, like, trying to reason it out. And ultimately, I determined that I did not quite have it. I felt so bad because, like, I knew we were going to... That was the closest, like, that was the closest match in Swiss any day that I had to go to time. It was bad. I felt bad for him. I didn't mean to take so long. I don't like to drag out games. It's not what I do, but it's like when you think you have it and there's so much, okay, I have to do this, but then he could counter this and what do I do here involved, that it's just it's tough. So
yeah.
The one key thing that I noticed in a couple of different matchups is that there are a lot of decisions to make, but a few of them don't actually matter until after you've passed priority to your opponent. And that's going to determine, do I continue to the attack step and do a whole... Like, what your opponent does determines, do I continue into the attack step and do what I feel I can do, or do I hold off because what he did means I don't have it, or she.
I mean, one of those scenarios I remember, an opponent had two question marks. I passed priority to them. They used PXG twice.
Yes.
And then it came back to me. I'm like, oh, now they can't ping my Ant-Man for damage.
Yep.
Now exactly. I'm going to attack.
Exactly a situation I saw, I think, probably two, maybe three different times.
Yes.
I'm like, man, I almost have this. Ooh, he has those question marks. All right. Fine. Priority pass. And he ramped twice. And, I mean, that's... That hurts to look back and realize that that was a misplay for you. But those things are going to happen. There's a lot of globals. There's a lot of information to juggle around. And there's a lot of cards that maybe you forgot about or didn't think, or you didn't buy into that set, so you didn't realize that Slifer was Magic Missile or vice versa. And you sometimes just miss that. And, you know, I don't know. In a football game, the defense isn't going to stay to the quarterback. Hey, man, like we're doing single coverage on this guy, so you probably be able to thread the needle and get to him. Like,
yeah.
I want to point some of those things out, but again, there are a degree of there are some stakes here, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, but that's a key thing that that whole priority passing, and we emphasized it in a couple of articles leading up to this event. That's an important thing, because that's going to determine, you don't have to make all those decisions there. You aren't committed until you actually say you attack. And before you do that, you say, I pass priority to you.
Yeah, and feel free to pass priority. It comes back to you. You can play more globals. The only thing is, you have to pass priority before you declare the attack. So you'd have to pass it back again.
Exactly.
If you played more globals.
Well, yeah, but this is more a case where I pass priority. What happens here? They do that. Now you can proceed into the attack step, pay the fist for Doom Caliber Knight, and you're off to the races.
Yep.
Or whatever. Maybe you don't need the fist for Doom Caliber Knight, but yeah, I saw somebody actually held on to something instead of pinging something down into the attack step, and then I declared and paid for Doom Caliber, and that was it.
Yeah.
They overlooked that. I will say a couple of mistakes for misplays that I saw throughout the tournament and games I was and was not involved in. Really do take the time to note what globals are available. There are some people I saw who forgot that something wasn't there and did it anyway, and it wasn't caught till later.
I heard about a game that happened.
Luckily, I think it was a game between friends,
yes.
which makes it so much better, because, you know, they're not going to...
Yeah, they knew neither one was trying to, you know, cheat or get the upper hand.
Yeah.
And they just... You play so many games using some of these same globals, and they just happened to play a game where neither of them had Magic Missile or Slifer. So they weren't able to ping for damage. And
right.
They played as if it was there anyways, not realizing... Oh crap! Neither of us have this.
Yeah, or Blue Eyes was another one. I almost fell for. I almost did it. It was. I had played in a game before with Blue Eyes that gave me a little bit of. That gave me the ability to, to kind of hedge my bets a little bit, and then like the next game, I'm like, I do a roll at one point. I'm like, ooh, I have a bolt in this. I could Blue Eyes. Wait, no, I can't. No, I can't. So I rerolled it. It was fine.
Actually did something similar. I thought, oh crap! I rerolled that die and it didn't come up a bolt. Now I can't Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Blue Eyes isn't even in this game. Good thing that didn't come up a bolt.
Yeah. There were a couple of those little things. You know, I bumped the die. I bumped the psychic die. I wasn't sure if I did. I felt like I did. And I'll have to look back at the video and see if I did, because it was one when I was on the stream. I thought I bumped the psychic die to the question mark face. And I wasn't sure. The guy across from me didn't see it. I looked over at Jimmy running the field. Like, do you see? Do you know where that was? Like, I have no idea. I'm like, can you ask somebody on Twitch? Maybe can somebody comment for me?
Yeah.
I looked at my phone. I said, you know what? I said, fair is fair. I feel like I did this. I'm not sure. But in the interest, this will be a part of my reroll. Because like, it was my roll, but I hadn't rerolled yet. I said, so regardless, I'll just include this die in my reroll, and that'll be that. He said, yeah, that's fine with me. I thought that was the only fair way to do it.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure if I bumped it or not.
Yeah, I mean, if that's how you think it's fair, your opponent thinks it's fair, judges are like, yeah, you guys do what you feel is right here, then yeah, by all means. Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't think we called a judge for that one. Okay. I mean, but if I was going to re-roll it, like, no harm, no foul then.
Yeah.
You know? And, yep. Yeah, so it worked out in the end. But overall impressions, I had a blast.
Yeah, absolutely.
So much fun.
I mean, it is quite the haul. I don't know if I'll come again next year, especially since...
If it's here again, I probably will.
Maybe. I mean, hopefully next year I can try to make concrete plans for Origins.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this was absolutely a blast. And if I can come to this again, I will not be disappointed.
I will say this, playing all of this stuff was fun, but I feel like I want to see more of, like, there are a lot of people who I just didn't get to see what they were using.
Yeah.
I want to find a way to, WizKids, are you listening? I want to find a way to get on the coverage side. I would love to do that kind of stuff. I think it's so much fun. You get to see everything and kind of, I thought Jimmy had the best job of the day.
Yeah.
Or of the tournament. I really think he did. I don't know if he felt that way. Not that he said anything or anything like that. I don't know how he felt about it, but I thought he did a fantastic job, and I thought he had the best job of the day.
Yeah, he seemed to be having a good time.
Yeah.
And every time I talked to him, I mean, he was super friendly and...
Yeah, he was just excited. He was a really exuberant guy.
Yeah.
But in general, yeah, that would be fun.
I am curious to, look at the numbers. I don't know if WizKids will do this or... Heck, maybe if they have access to it, but I mean, they have the rosters from every team that competed in both qualifiers and the nationals.
Yeah, can they please notice that every single team had Professor X?
Yeah.
And
did every team have Professor X? Did every team, three quarters of the teams have Green Goliath? What characters were the most popular? What did the average team look like?
Yeah. I mean, I think I could probably guess what it looked like.
Yeah.
I will say there was more variance than there was at the one tournament last year that posted decklist for, where everything was like the same, Gabi Sarina, Johnny Storm, blah, 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 blah field.
Yeah.
There were a lot of similarities, but there were a lot of differences. I saw an Injection Fairy Lily used.
Yes.
On a team, and used pretty well. The guy who had that top aided. That was actually Charlie. I saw... Oh, boy, I'm trying to think.
I played against Sean, and I know he was using Fairy Lily as well.
Yeah,
so there were at least two players.
Yeah. I saw that one. I saw some different cards, like, in the peripheral side of things, which was nice. Like, everything wasn't exactly carbon copy. You know, some teams had Black Widow and Gabi, and some teams... were, you know, nowhere near that. I mean, there's so many ways to go. So that's nice. I mean, there is definitely more variety, which tells me that this is a big step in the right direction. It's not there yet, but the game is not quite a year old. I mean, sky's the limit, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think there were very few carbon copy teams there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, not at all. I mean, somewhat variations on a theme.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know what I was surprised to have not seen at all?
What's that?
And maybe you did, I don't know. Maybe you did. I didn't see anybody running, like, the traditional spider bomb.
I didn't either.
Because the errata, like, okay, you can't turn 3-kill, but it's still super viable.
Yeah.
Like, done right, you're still, like, leaving your opponent at 5.
I think there was only one player I heard was using Wallcrawler.
Mm-hmm.
I only heard someone overheard someone saying something about Wallcrawler during a game. So that may or may not be the case. Another one I'm surprised to see. I mean, I know it's not as powerful as it was, but just based on the popularity of Beast Mutate 666, the fact that no one was running it, and that was a staple of teams, you know, 8-9 months ago.
Well, that's because, see, 8-9 months ago, the teams were walling up with Beast and nothing could happen.
Yeah.
Now people are using Professor X for their ramp. Yeah, I feel like there's a way to, I feel like there could be a way to incorporate it. I'd love to use that shiny old art card that I have.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem that he has is the problem that we I have with Storm, which is he's a mask. And that can mess your ramp plans up. But, I mean, I don't think the day is over for the Wind Rider, Johnny Storm, Mr. Fantastic, Distraction Beast thing. Not exactly that way, but something similar. I don't think it's the end of the day. I don't think the sun is set on that yet. I don't think it's viable at present.
Yeah.
But I think it's something that can be worked with as we get some new cards. I don't have the faintest idea what that is yet. But yeah, that's something that I think is a possibility. But yeah, I was surprised not to see that at all. You know, there's only one team that can kill that early anymore. So it's not like you're losing something by using that spider bomb. And frankly, Hulk could be integrated onto that team the same way that Hulk was integrated onto High Hopes or yeah. integrated onto many of these other teams, and then it would have been fine in the long game as well. So or a Jinzo for a controlling element or whatever, a lot of things like that. So yeah, you know, that was a surprise. I thought we would see it. I don't know if the errata scared everybody off, but I mean it can still hurt. You know, playtesting for this, I made sure that I played against it because I thought I was still going to see it.
Yeah.
And it can win, absolutely, especially if it goes first. So, now that said, the human paladin destroys it. You know, if you can get him fielded before the bomb can go off, but that's not always going to happen. So, yeah, well, we have a ways to drive, and I think we've talked for a while, so let's give everybody's ears a rest. And if we think of anything, we'll come back. But I don't think we will. I think we're gonna just chill now. Yeah, I'm getting hungry.
All right, let's go find some food.
All right, this is Dave,
and this is Randy,
and we're signing off from the reserve pool. Bonus episode.
See you later.
Bye.